Good morning, Chelvest and Caldegott and Chelston Rise. It's Friday the 1st of May, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. Now, I always look forward to feedback on these podcasts, even if it's corrections. And yesterday's virtual postbag was excellent. Firstly, of course, there was the usual correction. Helen rang me early on to point out that I hadn't mentioned Rosemary Wooding in my ramblings about daffodils. Now, Helen is a stickler for details, and the October 2011 Parish Council minutes were very clear that it was both Councillor Melvin Wooding and Mrs. Rosemary Wooding that had selected and donated the bulbs for Caldecott to complement those donated by Blom's. So sorry, Rosemary, that was my omission. And then Gordon Brooks contacted me with the identity of the layperson who was whitewashing the walls with Roger Davison in the Cinderella Church article. It was the renowned Richard Oberman of Higham Ferrers. Richard still has a photograph of the restoration, so I'm hoping to get a copy of this for the archive. Arthur Wright then reminded me of a story about Roger Davison and Michael Folger, the dynamic duo of the 1970s church scene. Now, Michael was obsessed by the church clock. Although it was electric, the timing mechanism was a traditional pendulum driven by a weight that gradually descended the church tower. When the weight hit the bottom, an electric motor kicked in to wind it back up again. Michael loved it. The clock's accuracy was controlled by adding tiny weights to the pendulum, and he was up there at least once a week adding or removing weights. The temperature and the humidity had a huge impact on the accuracy, and Michael had a weather station in his garden to help with the process. When I cleared his house, there were 41 years of observations recorded in a notebook in the office. Well, one day Michael had walked up to the church and went into the tower, leaving the tower door open to show that someone was up there. But Roger Davison happened to pop into the church that day, as it was a special festival, and he wanted to say a prayer. He found the vestry and the tower doors open and thought someone must be up there. So he called up the tower, but there was no answer. Unfortunately, Michael was two floors up and engrossed in fiddling with the clock. He just didn't hear. So Roger presumed that Michael had forgotten to lock up. And he locked the tower and the vestry doors and he went off home to Higham. Now, when Michael came to descend the tower, he found the stairwell in darkness. The only light in those days came from the open door at the bottom. So Michael was trapped. He went up the tower and he tried calling for help, but no one was listening. It was only when he didn't turn up for his evening meal that Christine realised he was missing and she went off in search of him. Eventually, she heard the cries from the tower. Michael had had to climb right up to the bell chamber at the top of the tower to enable him to shout across the churchyard. So you'll be glad to know that there are now lights all the way down the tower staircase and strict rules about lone working. And of course, the clock is no longer controlled by a pendulum which needs adjusting daily. Now, my next tip-off was all about a birthday. The lady concerned stopped the car while I was mowing the verges and said, "Is there any chance of a shout out?" Well, what a great opportunity. And here it comes. So happy 55th birthday to our Chelveston celebrity, Christopher Joseph Charles Blom of Scaraben, Water Lane. Now, you've all heard of Elaine Blom of Blom's Bulbs, even if you haven't met her yet. She's organised the tulip deliveries to me each week, which allow me to go round the village on a Sunday morning. And you've all quite literally heard of Michael Blom. If you've been in Water Lane or Sawyer's Crescent or Hillside over the last few Thursdays, he's the one encouraging Ethan to make even more noise each week in support of the NHS. But behind the scenes, there are more of the dynasty. Amanda, Ethan's mom, is also part of the company and a regular contributor to our group. But Chris Blom is the quiet one behind the scenes. And if you aren't a pub regular or a Water Lane resident, you would be forgiven for not knowing his name. But actually, Chris Blom is our local celebrity. He's been on Gardener's World and he's done many press interviews over the years at the Chelsea Flower Show. However, make no mistake about it, he is now the Blom in Blom's Bulbs. What this man doesn't know about tulips isn't worth knowing. His father and his grandfather were well known by the royal family at Chelsea, and now Chris has assumed the mantle and the responsibility for carrying on the family name. Now, I delivered some tulips to Keith and Gillian Carr last Sunday, and Keith stopped me on Monday to ask where on earth they came from, because he just didn't know, he doesn't listen to the podcasts. Now, Keith knows and loves his tulips, and in his view, these were some of the best he had ever seen. Well, Keith, that's really not surprising. Blom's Bulbs has won 68 gold medals at the Chelsea Flower Show over the years for their cut flowers. Blom's has got a long and proud history, which began in the Neylands in the 1850s. Chris and the family are now carrying this tradition on in Melchbourne. But Chris learned his trade after being sent to the Netherlands by his father once he completed his agricultural college training in the UK. He was a very young man at the time, and his job was weeding fields all day and every day. There's nothing like starting at the bottom, because you'll then really learn the business. His wages at the time were very low, and after board and lodging, he was paid just enough money at the end of the week for a couple of beers and a packet of cigarettes on a Friday night. Now, knowing that, you'll know that Chris has made huge progress in his bad habits. He works very hard and he gets up very early, but he hasn't had a day off in his working life. Around about 3:30 most afternoons, well, that was before the virus anyway, you'd find him wandering up to the pub for a few pints and a few cigarettes. Let's hope we get back to normality soon, Chris. I know you're missing it. And so, actually, is the pub crowd, because this man has a very dry sense of humour, and it's just priceless. Now, all of you know that Chris and Elaine have provided cut flowers during the emergency for isolating households, and also bulbs to the village for the daffodil displays. But Chris has also arranged plantings and donations for many great causes, the Falklands, the 9/11 Memorial Ground in New York, and also Lady Diana's Memorial in Althorpe. Now, if Chris is listening, he's probably squirming right now, because he's a quiet, modest and unassuming man. In fact, Elaine has said that if she goes missing, he'll probably have killed her for putting him in the spotlight. Her body will be found in the flower chillers at the nursery in Melchbourne, just so that you know. But now to make Chris really squirm. Ethan is the seventh generation of the Blom dynasty to attend the Chelsea Flower Show. And you all know he's a bit of a character himself. Now, Ethan has always refused to call Chris Blom Grandad. Ethan has his own name for Chris. It's Pong. Yes, Pong. So happy birthday, Pong, from a very grateful village. And please forgive Elaine, she's lovely. And folks, next time you meet Chris in the pub, just address him by his real name, Pong. Thank you.